And at this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker for this evening, the reason why we're all here, Jack S. from Santa Maria.
My name's Jack. I'm an alcoholic. And you can probably tell I'm an alcoholic because I got three of these, you know, don't want to run out. First of all, I want to welcome the people that are new and the people that came back. It's really good to see some of the people here. The power of prayer. There's someone here tonight that I've been praying for, and he's here, so. And there's people that were praying for me. First of all, my sobriety date is February 20th, 1996. My first meeting in Alcoholics Anonymous was in November 1975. So it took me a long time to get here and stay here. In a 5-year period, I got rid of my third wife and then I stayed. Okay. To tell you the type of drinker I am, first of all, I'm not the guy that, you know, gets drunk at football games. I'm not the guy that gets drunk, you know, hardly at all in high school. But in seventh grade, the first time I got drunk and I got a bottle and these guys who were passing around, they were acting like they were drinking. I drank it and I loved it. But they were scared to bring me home because they knew how my dad was. So I knew from the get-go I was an alcoholic and I didn't want to be. My dad used to end up getting drunk, he'd black out and, you know, he'd knock my mom around and I hated my dad. Yeah. But, in high school and that, I can tell you I would have two beers because if you only have two beers, you're not going to get drunk. And then you'd end up going to teen dances. But then my junior and senior year, I didn't drink hardly at all. My senior year, I had two beers. I had one when we lost our CF championship. Yeah, disappointment. And I ended up having one when I lost a wrestling match against a guy that I wanted to beat. But what I'm getting at is, so I thought I was different than you. I've cut class once in my whole life. I got caught. Yeah. I went to summer school all the time. I love school. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous, I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. We keep learning and stuff like that. I've been married four times. My first three marriages, each one of them within 5 years, they knew how I was, you know. Because you got to remember, I'm not a guy that drinks very often. But when I drink, every single one of you people can probably out-drink me. If I drank, I can remember having two beers, but when I got to the number three, I'm already having blackouts. I go to a party on a Saturday night, and we used to call it Lake Marie. My buddy's name, last name was Murray. That's actually, you know, the projects, you know, behind Pleasant Tree Plaza rather than Lake Marie. And so on a Saturday night, I end up going to party, and all of a sudden, Tuesday morning, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska in a parking lot, and I'm asking the people, where am I, what day is it, and I figured, well, okay, I already lost my job, so I just kept on going. My grandmother lived in Mason City, Iowa, and the thing that was screwed is I was 20 years old, and drinking age in Minnesota, where I ended up living, was 18. So when I turned 21 there, and I'm thinking, oh, this is a great thing and everything, you know. We've been drinking for years, you know. So that took, you know, that thing. And then here's the alcoholic. I'm partying and everything. I end up with a blonde. That's all I remember. I don't remember anything. And that morning she ends up saying, well, you're going to have to give me like $20 for gas. And I said, why? She says, we're 80 miles away from, you know, where you live. So, you know, I jump in a car, someone I don't even know, and, you know, that's the type drunk I am. Another thing is when we go to parties and I do get drunk because, okay, I wrestled, okay, I played football, I wrestled, I ran track, and I played baseball. So during high school, that's why I wasn't drinking. Well, when I got out of high school, I started just wrestling. So when it's not wrestling season, a month before wrestling season, you start getting in shape. After wrestling season, it's catch-up time. Yeah. I'm the guy that, you know, will end up, I got promoted and went to Cal Poly, so I take everyone out to the Far Western. Now we're all drinking, all of a sudden we're having shots. I go outside for a minute, and all of a sudden they're calling me up and say, "Hey, Jack, where are you?" And we just had phones, we had cell phones. I'm looking around, shit, I'm back in San Luis. They go, "Jack, you stiffed us for the bill because you told us you were paying for it. Also, you're the one that drove us here." So they had to take a cab, so I had to take them out another time. You know? And then my first wife, she wouldn't have stayed with me. But thank God we got married, and our honeymoon was in Catalina. I black out. The next morning, she's terrified. And she says, "You know, you scared me so much. I wanted to leave, but, you know, we were, you know, in that little island, so she couldn't leave." But the thing is, I only got drunk maybe four times in that period. You know, so I'm not thinking I'm an alcoholic because I don't get drunk that often, really. You know? And so then, but I terrified her when my friends came and saw me, Wild Turkey, I love that, you know? As another thing is, alcohol is something that progresses. So my drinking started getting worse. So number two, I start drinking a little bit more and then doing a little of the other stuff that a lot of us do so we can drink more. And then, and I love to dance. You know how everyone wants to be a cop or someone wants to end up being, a policeman a fireman or something like that, or a big businessman? I wanted to own a dancing place, you know, a nightclub. And all we do is just dance, you know. So when I was growing up, too, I hung around with quite a few girls. Jackie Savings, Sharon Williams, Stacey Merle, Cindy Firth, and they all, we used to watch, Soul Train. Soul Train. So, you know, I love to dance. So that's why I wanted, I was a dancing machine. Yeah, you know, so the thing is, I love to drink and I love to dance, you know, and stuff like that. The only problem is, I danced with someone that wasn't my wife at the time. So wife number two needs me. Yeah. And, but here's the thing is, you gotta watch out. I am the blackout drinker. You gotta remember that. So what ends up happening now, I'm going to my buddy's wedding. It's in Oakland. You know, I'm 34 years old, and I figure half the people know me because my nickname was Trouble. If you go out with Jack, you're going to get in trouble. You can have fun, but you're going to get in trouble. So I end up, I go and I'm in this guy's wedding and that, and I bring my son that at that time is probably about maybe 5 years old. And next thing I know, I'm in Reno. I'm looking over at this one girl that I brought, and she's all smiling at. I married her in a blackout. She's only 19 years old, and I'm 34. So how do you think my three ex-wives, or my two ex-wives thought about that? Not too bad. Yeah. So what I'm getting at is, okay, first of all, I didn't drink that often, but when I drank, I black out and I did stupid things. Yeah. And then this is the end of my drinking career right here. Okay, right before I'm finally going to come in the room, because here's another thing for people that go in and out. In a 20-year period, five different times I had a year. You know, this wife's going to leave me now. I better, you know, I better walk very fine, you know. And, I had too many beers. So the thing is, don't drink. I ran a lot, you know. My dad ran 150 marathons. He made me run one of his for him. But I used to run quite a bit. And the wives would run from me, and I would, you know, be able to catch them. No, the thing is. So what I'm getting at is, so I stayed in shape, so that would be an excuse not to drink. You know, just like playing sports now. So we use, you know, So I end up, my buddy turns 40, and I'm 39 years old. And I go up to the Bay Area for his birthday and everything. And I had probably about 6 months in, yeah. But that one defense against the drink is, I should have went to a meeting before that, you know, because I wasn't going to drink. But, you know, come on, you can have one, you know. So then I got drunk, puked all over his wife's, you know, flower bed and everything, you know. I remember I was taking shit. So I go out and I get in my vehicle on the back. The next morning I walk in and this one guy's getting beat up by his wife. You live! Because they blamed it on him. And he was so drunk that he didn't know about it. So yeah. I never told my buddy, I still gotta make amends for that, okay? Okay. So, I married someone 19 years old. You're pretty stupid if you're 34 and you marry someone 19. And if someone is married that, I don't want to offend you, but you know. Because sooner or later they become 21. And then they can go to bars. So we did a little bit of that drug stuff and she got hooked on it. So I said, okay, what do? We're going to move over to Nevada. So I lived over by Lake Tahoe and that because, okay, from now on we're just going to drink. You know, my drinking had progressed. I was drinking, usually get off work, have a couple beers, you know, but not too many because I still ran, you know, I stay in shape and stuff like that. But, so the next thing I know, she's cheating on me. Can you believe that? And I work for this company called Scolari, and they're calling me up and they're saying, hey, have you seen your wife? And I says, no, I was going to ask you a few things. She's in bedroom with us. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, and I'm really good friends with the Scolaris. My dad was a Scolari manager, and I was in management with them and everything. So, well, she leaves me and everything. But the good part about it is I had two children with her, you know, Albert and Alexis. You know, so I come back over here. This is in 93. I didn't get sober until I was 90, until 96. I get a sponsor, never call him. Work the steps, you know, come to meetings and stuff like that, listen to people, but I wouldn't work the steps, you know. Because I really, when you get to step four and you stop and look at yourself, you don't want to do that, you know. So I stay there. So I screw up in 96 and I beat up an employee. For some reason, they fired me. I don't know why. He deserved it. He grabbed my shirt and ripped it. Okay, but okay, so I get fired from that job. So then I end up, I sit in a motel room, or my apartment at the time, turn off all the power and everything because I don't have a job. I got three ex-wives I owe child support to, you know, but I'm thinking, well, how am I going to pay them? One thing that I've always done is I've always saved money, okay? So I'm really good at that. When I went to Cal Poly, I was going to be an accountant, but they didn't pay that much. You know, and I hate big cities because I get lost when I'm driving. You know, I'm horrible. I'm still pretty bad. Thank God they have GPS now. You know, but so I end up, I decide, okay, this time I'm going to go back to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've had three drunk drivings. Each time, you know, I came and I got a little more willingness and stuff like that, you know. So I end up, I come in here, well, first of all, I'm not going to come here because, you know, you guys are going to laugh at me. Why are you coming back, you know? One person, one time when I came back, says, how long are you going to be here this time? And I'm thinking, screw you, you know. I want to be sober. And I really wanted to be sober at that time. So I went to meetings up in Paso for 60 days. You know, but I made that. And I was asking people to sponsor me. That's nothing. People are turning me down. They heard my story. Man, you're too messed up, would you? I mean, no help for you type of thing. And this old man comes in, you know, he's like this. You know, he smokes all the time and everything. The thing that was great about him is he played Merlin the Magician for plays in New York, San Francisco, and L.A., and he did that for a living. And he was always in a good mood. He said, yeah. I asked, hey, Art, will you sponsor me? And he goes, yeah. He says, I'll be your temporary sponsor. I said, why temporary? because he ain't going to be here that long. He says, I'm just kidding. He says, if you start following some direction, then there's a good chance that you can, stay sober in that. He says, first of all, he says, you will work the steps. We're going to work one a month. He says, second of all, you don't have a job right now? He goes, you don't get to work for the first month. He says, do you have a little bit of money to make it? And I said, yeah. He says, okay, for the first month, it's a full-time job to stay sober. So then I go to the next meeting, and all of a sudden, I look up at the board, and I'm thinking, shit, man, look up my name. Okay, they had 9 spots. Their meeting's up there an hour and a half. They had 9 spots where there wasn't secretary. You put my name in every single one of them. He says, now you have a job. And I says, but I only got a week. And he goes, well, he says, you know what? He says, I'm retired. I'll sit right next to you. He says, I'll nudge you really hard if you do anything wrong. And he says, another thing is, I want you to take notes. He says, because the thing is we're going to discuss what's going on in the meeting afterwards. You don't have a job, and then once a week we're going to go to an outside meeting. And seeing I don't have a vehicle, that was him, you're going to drive us to the meeting now. So I ended up learning to be in service right away. He says, because it ain't about you. He says, nothing is, no matter what, he says, after you work the steps, first thing you're going to do is you're going to grab a newcomer and you're going to work the steps with him. And he says, before you even ask anything, all you have to do is just go through the steps, read it, have him read it, and then discuss it, and then ask him what he got out of it. So the thing that was good about that is he ended up showing me that, you can end up caring about other people and not worrying about yourself. That it's a full-time job just to stay sober, so if I stay sober, everything else is going to fall in place. So Scolari calls me up and says, hey, we're going to hire you back. Says, the only problem is, instead of in San Luis, we're going to put you down in Santa Barbara because no one knows you there. And suppose there were 17 people said that, they thought I might hit them too, for some reason. I had anger issues. Because of my alcoholism, I always felt uncomfortable. Never felt okay in my own skin. I always felt something was a little wrong, I lost one wrestling match my freshman year. My dad knocked me around in front of everyone else, and all I thought about is losing that one match. We lost one football game, my senior year. All I remember is, So instead of looking at the positive and the good that's in our life, and we all have that, look at the good that's in your life, If you come back in here just one day, the most important thing is you're back. We can't do anything about the past. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's mystery, today's an opportunity, It's an opportunity to end up, having a good life. So then I end up, I go down there. I have a vehicle that has about close to 300,000 miles on it, and half the time it's breaking down. But I would stop and I'd pray. Well, this book right here was given to me at my first meeting. My daughter used this book for something besides Alcoholics Anonymous, because these steps can be applied in everything that you do. So I ended up, my sponsor ended up passing away. What ended up happening is he was one of these guys that smoked a cigarette and do his oxygen at the same time. And when he did it one time, all of a sudden the side of his face was out like that. So they put him in the nutty place for a little while to get him away from doing that. Well, he ended up, when I had 2 years sobriety, he says, Jack, I want you to get me out of this. I says, okay. So I got him out, and 2 days later he passed away. Well, how people judge us. They end up telling me, they said, you killed him. I'm thinking, no, I did what he wanted. So I didn't go to meetings up there for a while. Thank God we got meetings everywhere. So, So I went to work and I felt guilty in that, and I stopped in Bilton and I ended up getting 12 packs of beer because I was going to drink at those people, like a lot of us do. So I had that 12 pack and I put it up on the counter and I started shaking. And I told myself, if I drink, I'm telling God he doesn't work, and who in the hell am I going to rely on them? I have no one to rely on anymore, you know, because really, after working the steps, everything in my life was good, you know. If I complained about anything, he made me write a gratitude list. You know, get out of that negative, because most of our alcoholics, we sit around and we're negative about everything. Look at the positive that you got in your life. So I didn't drink. I put that back. I went to a meeting. There's this one guy puked all over himself and everything. My wife just kicked me out. I just got fired from my job. And I think, whoa, that would have been me. Here's the only thing is at 10 months sober, my two youngest kids ended up at my doorstep, and I ended up being a parent finally. You know, rather than getting these good wives that, you know, my wife at the time got back into drugs, and she drove them all the way over from Montpelier, and she goes, I don't know if the kids are here or not. She says, will you take them? And I go, yeah. I said, let me call my sponsor. So I call up Art, and I go, hey, Art, my kids are here. My ex-wife wants to give them to me. She's higher than a kite. What should I do? And he just hung up. And I said, oh, bad connection, okay. So I call him up. And I go, hey, Art, my two kids, they're 3 and 5 years old, they're here. And my ex-wife wants to end up giving them to me. What should I do? He goes, you selfish son of a bitch. Don't you know God put these kids in your life for a reason? He hung up again. So I tried to call him a couple more times. Well, the kids have been with me ever since then. And what a blessing. See, because my head is always out the, you know, fear again, you know. I can't handle this. But, you know, with us, I can handle everything and anything. Because when I have a problem, the first thing I do is I talk to usually 2 males and 1 female. No. I used to talk to 3 females and forget the guys. You know? But anyway, so then I get some good advice, and I ask people that, you know, that I respect in that. And the reason I stayed sober this last time is I worked those steps. I lived those steps. It's not your fault about anything. I have a decision. I have a choice. So if I'm making the right choices and hanging around the right people, everything's going to be okay. If things end up going wrong, yeah. You know, when I applied for a 4-week job, at first they told me, we don't hire people with drunk driving on their record. And I'm thinking, why am I here for an interview? And I drove all the way down to L.A. for them. 6 months later, they called me up and they said, hey, all these people that you have on the for recommendations all said great things. They're all AA people. Yeah. But one's a lawyer, another guy's city councilman, you know, stuff like that. Because we have all different, you know, walks of life, you know. And the thing I love about Alcoholics Anonymous more than anything else is when I walk in that door over there, I'm not Jack the Dead Man anymore. I'm Jack the alcoholic that has a problem with drinking, and I'm trying to treat people better, and you guys are teaching me how to do that. You guys are all my teachers. When someone goes through something, I might have been right behind you. I was like, oh, shit, I almost did that. But instead of doing those things, what do? We talk to another alcoholic. Why do we have a sponsor? Because our sponsor has more time, and if he doesn't know, he's going to direct us to someone else. Now, why do we sponsor other people? Because we have to give this back no matter what to teach them. Yeah. The best friendships I have with people in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. And then, you know, I wrote my little list here. We got a book in here, just to let you guys know. I used to have hair. Yeah, it's in there. And that was my girlfriend before my fourth wife. And another thing too is, okay, my first three, you got to remember, my first three marriages, none of them lasted 5 years. I've been married to the same woman for 20 years now. But here's another thing too. is I go to, you know, we used to sit on a bar stool and say, yeah, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. Now that I don't spend money at the bars and, you know, places like that, I get to go to those places. And the thing I love more than anything else is she sends me a meeting. She says, don't you think you need a meeting? And I'm thinking, yeah, because she knows when I come back from that meeting, I'm a better guest. Yeah. You know? Because it ain't all about me. As soon as I go there, I went to a meeting down in Ramona and stuff like that. And this guy says, you know what, I'm going to be sponsoring someone for the first time. Do you think you can end up helping me a little? So I called my wife. And I says, this guy wants me to, he's going to take me to breakfast too. This guy wants to end up going over some ideas of how to end up sponsoring people. Is okay if I do? My wife says, fine. Yeah. But and another thing that's great about going to meetings that are out of this area is say you don't have too much money. You go to a meeting and say, what do you guys do around here for fun, you know, that doesn't cost you much? And people, like, he's going to go to Maui and that. You can end up paying, like, $140 a person and end up getting one of those catamarans. It takes around, you get a lunch, you know, and, or you can end up sliding to the top of that place and walk through the people that were at the meeting, just one path, and you get in there for free, and all you have to do is have your snorkeling stuff. Well, that's a lot better, right? So the thing is we end up sticking together. We end up helping each other. We went to a beach meeting the other day, and it was just last night, and there's all these people from Bakersfield. There was two people having their birthday, so everyone from hot Bakersfield came over here to the coast, and it was so nice hearing their story. Because we can relate to different people at different times and stuff like that. And a lot of the people are saying, yeah, I went to Bakersfield, but they came back. You know, we might be a little bit brighter than them. But I'm not saying that because my aunt and uncle live over in Bakersfield. So one of the reasons that I stay sober is my sponsor, Art. I was telling him, I was thinking, and he says, how's that work for you, Jeff? I said, not too good. He says, you got to start asking. When you have questions, ask someone. There isn't any dumb questions. There's some good answers. And then Gussie, right here, she's got it right there. The elevator is broke. You have to do the steps. Okay, for 20 years, 21 years, I kept on going in and out. Because I did 1, 2, and 3. But I wasn't going to do 4 and 5 because you guys can't know how really dumb and stupid and all this. Because I'm this guy that went to college and didn't cut class. And I'm just like you guys. You know, I know that I will get drunk no matter what. But, you know, I make dumb mistakes. I, like, if we're going somewhere, don't have me drive because if you don't have GPS, we will get lost. Yeah. And Al McGee says that, you know, we have to go through our seemingly good and seemingly bad for our spiritual growth. And the thing about that, and I asked about it, sober. Each time we go through something sober that we didn't do before, you know, I got a little more reinsurance. This is going to work. Just like me. I still want to hit people, so what I do rather than end up hitting someone, and there's some store managers that just, I mean, they unload on me, because I'm the supervisor for a week, that's why we get rich. Okay, so, when I go there, first of all, I say the serenity prayer about 10 times, God grant me the serenity, you know, and I keep on saying it, but I usually will go to a meeting, because what can I do to bring to the table? You know, we're at this meeting this morning, and I ended up telling these guys, I said, you know, people bitch and complain about a meeting, but what are you bringing to the meeting? We're not here just to get fed. We need to feed the people. So I like going to different meetings. Like this guy said the other day about the Big Book, and I never heard it before. He said, you know what? The Big Book doesn't have any pictures, but it's got mirrors everywhere. So I look in there and all of a sudden, whoa, they're talking about me. Whoa. And that sort. And another thing is, here's another thing is, when I got this big book, my sponsor ended up saying, I want you to read a page a day. At least a page a day. He said, you won't have a job, so you know. And when you get a job, read a page a day. I keep my big book and stuff like that in my dip all the time. So I finished reading, you know, the book. And I said, hey, I just finished reading the book. He goes, man, you're stupid. I said, what do you mean? He says, I told you, I want you to read at least a page a day. We don't stop. It's just like, okay, all of a sudden, you know, I'm sober. I've been sober 30 years. That one guy that was 25 years sober, what happened? Within 4 years, he died. Because, hey, if my head is this messed up, you know, sober, just think how it'd be if I was drinking. You know? I'd be in Vegas. I'd be broke. I'd probably marry, well, yeah. I'd marry a guy. Okay, and then, okay, Dave Ford was my sponsor, my second sponsor. And one thing I loved about him is when he moved away in that, he says, I want you to get a sponsor that's close by. And then I asked Leo, you know, and Leo's my sponsor. But Dave Ford used to say, a bell is not a bell until someone rings it. A song is not a song until someone sings it. Love wasn't put in the heart to stay, for love isn't love until we give it away. But he said it a little different, doesn't it? And then another person that kept me sober so many times, and I know a lot of people are the same way, was Henry O, that used to sit back there all the time. And I think George L. stole this from him because, you know, he says, I have nothing if I don't have sobriety. And that's the truth. You know? God gives me all I need. I plan to enjoy my day. I hope you do too, unless you have other plans. Because all the time I'll tell people, hey, have a good day, unless you have other plans. And they go, and they say, what? Why are you always happy? Just like my sponsor in that. Why are you always happy? I said, they don't understand. I should be in jail. Because the Sunday meeting that we go to, the police station used to be right there. And I used to tell people, you know, if I drink, the first thing I'm going to do, by handcuff, then I'll get my 12-pack of beer. I'm going to handcuff myself to the police door because I know I'm going to be there sooner or later. Yeah. Because that's how, yeah. And I black out, so you. I don't want to marry someone that's under 18. I married someone 19 already, and I sleep that way. And that really screws things up. And then Leo tells me, you know, you got to tell the truth. Well, I tell the truth most of the time. I'm not going to lie to you. But one thing, I got to tell you one. So I'm 10 months sober. I'm not 10 months sober. 10 years sober. We got the kids and everything, and we're going over to, in between Boston and New York, the Burchards area. We stay at a timeshare there. And my wife, she loves to travel, okay? So we end up going all the way to Niagara Falls. It's like 4.5-hour drive, okay? One way. So we get there and everything, and she's complaining and everything. And we go over to the Canadian side, and she's looking at something in the shop. And then we go back, and I got the kids in that. And then I turn around, and I said, oh, where is Bob now? And I said, you know, she's really pissing me off. Should I even go get her? I had the passport. That means she wasn't going to make it back. Well, I went and got her. But here's the thing about it. Okay, so I go and get her and everything. I come back, and we ended up having a fabulous day. We ended up, I'm getting on the one boat that goes right by the falls. You know, you get all wet, and then you go on this other thing that goes under the falls, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. So, we've got to put on your glasses. When you get old, you know, I might even put on his shoes rather than my own. And you never know in a meeting when someone's going to say something and you act like it's the first time you ever heard it. Well, Leo the other day goes, you know, he goes, I want you to utilize, not analyze so much. So when you hear something that someone else is doing, like I said, ask them, hey, you know, if you don't understand, ask them, and then put it in your life, and then all of a sudden, oh, now I can handle it. And then you can end up passing on to someone else. Because I was at a meeting up in Tahoe, and I love it. There's quite a few people from around here that, you know, move up there and come back and forth. And they think that, I'd always tell them, well, I used to live in Gardnerville. So I was going up there about every 6 months, so they thought I lived up there again. But there's this one lady, she goes, she says, you know what? People in Alcoholics Anonymous, we might not know your name and not too much about you, but when we share, we know you like you're our brother and our sister. Because we know that feeling. We know that, you know, hey, there's hope here. There wasn't hope out there. You know, we want to run from everything out there. Here, sit down, have a cup of coffee. Have some good donuts. But, okay, I still got 2 minutes. Well, see, Leo said, you know, the meeting we go to on Sunday, it says, a good meeting starts on time, and a great meeting ends on time. See, and I was supposed to drink those, but, you know, I'll drink them by the end of the night. You know how those alcoholics are, yeah. They're having enough out of me. Yeah.
Give Jack another round of applause.